You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. It is 5:37. It's getting dark. There's going to be a full moon this year for Halloween, so we've got that to look forward to. You might have seen the stories yesterday about how they've confirmed water on the moon, a regular H2O. Geza Juke is the director of astronomy at the Adler Planetarium and Astronomy Museum, and he's going to explain all that for us. Geza, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon.
So we knew there was some kind of water on the moon, right? But this confirms that it's the sort of water that we drink.
That's right, yeah. We had a bunch of different pieces of evidence. First of all, there was water, regular water, up at the poles in these permanently shadowed craters. But, you know, that wasn't very much of it. But now we sort of know that there's actually water, drinkable water, not just sort of chemicals that could make up water other places on the moon.
So
that's really exciting.
When you say drinkable water, though, we're not going to happen upon a pond or anything like that, right?
No. This water is sort of mixed in with the soil on the top. It's not a lot of it, just small amounts, you know, maybe like a liter bottle full for every cubic meter.
But it's something that could be useful because we're trying to build a permanent station on the moon, right? I mean, could we ever find a way to use that water?
Absolutely. We could use it for drinking or for growing crops, you know, in maybe domes on the moon, or also for making rocket fuel, which is really good if you want to not only get to the moon, but get off it again.
And I think almost everyone who goes to the moon wants to come back.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's a good get bet.
So wait a minute. So you could use the water on the moon to make rocket fuel? Explain that for me.
Right. So water is H2O, hydrogen and oxygen. And so if you can break that up, then you'll get oxygen and hydrogen. Hydrogen is really, really flammable. So you mix it with oxygen and set a spark, and you get a big explosion, or in the case of a rocket, a huge flame going out the back pushing you up.
Wow.
Infected.
And so we'd have to bring the oxygen with us, right?
Well, no, you could get the oxygen from the water, too.
Oh, right.
H2O.
Okay. Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. How far away are we from that?
Well, we can do that here on Earth, hydrolysis. It's called breaking apart the water. So the big thing on the moon to do that would be a source of energy. And maybe electricity or some other. So maybe solar panels would be good, or maybe a small nuclear reactor. So we'd have to bring along something to make energy with.
So on Earth, water evaporates. I know nothing about this. This is just not my wheelhouse. But, I mean, is there a risk of water evaporating on the moon, or where does the water come from?
That's a great question. Yeah. Water does evaporate on the moon. And the moon, because there's no atmosphere, if the water evaporates, basically it's just going to, you know, float off into space. So we think that this water sort of sticks around because it's sort of in the rock. It's in a form, probably hydrated. That is, it's sort of part of the crystals, part of the rock. So it's sort of inside the rock, and we'd have to get it out by heating the rock or something. The other thing is, we think it's probably new water keeps coming, being brought, and we're not quite sure where that new water is coming from.
Well, what are the theories?
Well, one possibility is it's coming from lots of micrometeorites. We know that some meteorites have water-bearing rock, and when they slam into the moon, that's all going to be vaporized, and so you'll have water vapor, which then can get into the rock. We think it might be getting into impact glasses, basically molten soil that gets sort of sucks up some of the water.
So on Halloween, when we look at the full moon and we, you know, we can see the craters, that comes from meteorites or whatever having slammed into the moon, you know, for in the past forever, something that we're protected from by and large because of our atmosphere, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, every once in a while one gets through. You know, just a few years ago one got through and rained some pieces around the Chicagoland area. Didn't hurt anyone there.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Yeah, that was fantastic. It's like bringing the universe to us. Suddenly, whoa, the universe is here.
Some of us, Geza, might have just tried to duck, but I know guys like you think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'd probably be one of those people who's running towards the impact, right?
So tell me about Sophia, because I think this is fascinating, too, that you flew above the water in the Earth's atmosphere, essentially.
Yeah, okay, so this is just crazy, right? you know, the idea that Sophia is an instrument, a telescope, which is on a Boeing 747, which they cut a huge hole in the fuselage. So if you can think of anything more absurd than flying an airplane where you purposely
cut a
huge hole in it, let me know. But yeah, so there's this huge hole. It's, you know, like 15 feet across or something like that. And Sophia looks out through it in the telescope, and they make sure that it's not bumping around. And it's fantastic because when you're up that high, you're above almost all of the water, and the water vapor can actually absorb all the infrared radiation, all the infrared light.
Right.
So down the ground, you can't see that. But you go in the telescope on an airplane, and lo and behold, you can actually see it. So that was really important.
They go up 43,000 feet. They don't get obscured by water. Geza Juk is the director of astronomy at the Adler Planetarium. And if you ever see a meteor falling toward Earth, he's the guy running toward it.
Thank you.
It was nice to talk to you. Hope we can talk again.
Hope so, too.
You bet.